Thank you, Matt. I'm coming at this as a plant ecologist, and orchids are just one of the groups that I've worked on over many years, and the conservation side of it is something that has become sort of a passion now, and it's something that's in the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. So as part of that, we started an organization called the North American Orchid Conservation Center. And I think there's a very big need for conserving orchids. You've already heard many of the reasons. Of the 25 to 30,000 orchids in the world, fewer than 1,000 have been assessed. And of that number, roughly 60% of those are in troubles someplace, somewhere. So internationally, that's an issue. If you look at the United States, there are a little over 200 species in the U.S. and Canada. The map that you see there gives ranges of species in the different states. They range from about 140 in Florida to 35 up in Alaska. And we had done an assessment of those, and it turns out it's about the same number. About 60% of the orchids are threatened in some part of their range. So there's a concern. We really have to be dealing with this, and we have a huge variety of sizes and shapes and colors. And so for me personally, I think, even though I'm not a horticulturalist, I think there's a lot of potential for native orchids to be used in the horticultural trade and also to use horticulture as a way to conserve native orchids. The ecological situation with orchids is a little different than most other plants. We can't take this just as a plant-based thing, and that is because orchids have two life history stages, a protocorm stage between the seed and a seedling where there's no chlorophyll in the plant, and therefore it cannot get from seed to seedling on photosynthesis. So that's obviously a problem if you're a plant. The other thing is we know from research of various people that many orchid species have a dormant phase where they might stay underground for periods of time. For example, we know of one that can be dormant for up to 25 years. So if you're a plant living in the dirt for 25 years without photosynthesizing, you've got a bit of a problem. It turns out the key to all of this is mycorrhizae. So like all plants, orchids interact with mycorrhizae at all life history stages. The difference between orchids and other plants, though, is that the orchids have evolved to eat the fungi. It's not a mutualistic relationship where both of the partners benefit. So the orchids have evolved kind of beyond many, many plants in how they interact with orchids. And that can be exemplified by the fact that many orchid species are mycoheterotrophic. They don't have leaves. And so if you're a plant that goes through its entire life cycle without photosynthesizing, that means that you have to get your resources from somewhere else, and they get them from fungi. So now we've started this organization initially from a grant from the Smithsonian and funding from the U.S. Botanic Garden in order to conserve native orchids, and our goal with this organization is very simple: conserve the native orchid genetic heritage, basically. And we have a model for this that's an ecological model. It's based on propagation, it's based on fungal banks, it's based on seed banks, and it's based on education. And there's not time here to talk about how we're going about all of this. So today, first of all, this won't work because there are very few people engaged in this kind of research, and therefore we need lots and lots of collaborators of all sorts, from people that are just crazy about native orchids to people that are interested really in the conservation side of it. So today I'll just mention a bit about the conservation mode. So one of the big efforts, and where I spend a lot of my time now, is developing collaboration. So you'll see here that we collaborate with many of the botanical gardens around the country. I'm sure there are more that we will collaborate with in the future, and we work with academic institutions, we work with native orchid societies. We basically are trying to find anybody that wants to help us in this effort to conserve native orchids. Now, the horticultural side of it is one that's just beginning. Very few people are engaged in this process of growing native orchids. There are two books out there that one can get. One of them is from the UK, the one on the right. The Europeans are a little further ahead than we are on doing this. And on the left is one that's printed by a guy in Pennsylvania who is quite good at growing native orchids. So there's a little bit of information out there on how to do it. And it's the traditional thing, raised beds, excavated beds, bogs, or all kinds of habitats in which orchids can be propagated. So I think that that's not difficult. The trouble is that we just haven't figured it out yet, particularly with the fungi. So if you look in the on the internet, you can buy orchids. You can spend $40-$50 for an orchid and grow it in your garden, and hopefully you'll be very successful. This is just an example of the few that people are growing, and you can see they come in, again, a range of sizes and colors that are quite interesting. But the key to all of this from a conservation perspective is figuring out how to grow the orchids wherever you're going to do that, in a pot or in a bed or something, with the fungi. And that's a part that we really have to learn how to do. And that's what we're about. That's what we're working with folks that are collaborating with us, such as Longwood Gardens, to learn how to do this. And so we have the largest collection of orchid mycorrhizal fungi in the world in my laboratory. We have over 800 living isolates. We do DNA extraction on those to find out what those fungi are. That's a story unto itself. And the answer is 99.999999% of them are completely new to science. These are fungi that have not been described at all. We now have molecular techniques using probes. We can determine where the fungi are in the soil. We can quantify the fungi. So the tools are now there for us to do things that we can link it to conservation. So ecological restoration and conservation of orchids should, as much as possible, involve the fungi that they require. And I'll show two examples. We have a small grant from the Stanley Smith Horticultural Trust, working with a number of our collaborators, just getting this off the ground, to try to look at 10 Platanthera species that have horticultural potential. So we're in the process of doing seed germination experiments. We're in the process of collecting and identifying and isolating the fungi that can be used in these experiments. And then we have a project with Longwood now that Peter's directing, which is really the first one that I know about, where we're looking at two species and setting them up with various substrates, and we grew the fungi that we extracted from these orchids in our lab, and now we have put them into the media, so you have the traditional experiment replicates and all that stuff with and without fungi, and hopefully the end of this month we'll go up and visit Peter and take our first collections from these pots and find out, have our fungi survived, if they are there, what's the quantity of fungi. So we think that this is a way to develop the tools to integrate native orchid ecology into this. And this is sort of the last slide, which is sort of my vision of what I see happening. Once we get this figured out and get lots of people doing propagation, not only can you grow these things in a horticultural context, but we can give that information out to people that love to grow orchids in their gardens, and that way we can put orchids back into the landscape in places where they haven't been. So this, we're just at the germ stage of all of this, but excited that it has huge potential and for conserving native orchids. So how could ASHS help? Well, it can support efforts to collect and store the orchid seeds in the mycorrhizae, support propagation efforts, can support NAOC in other ways that we're trying to go about this. And I think this is where I had the incorrect spelling there. And connect us with local organizations that are interested in orchid conservation. A few acknowledgments, people at the Smithsonian and some of our collaborators around the country and the funding organizations that help get this off the ground. Thank you. Right.
And they're not planting them necessarily in the proper location for that orchid to survive.
Right. And I don't think there's a lot of quantification of an answer for that. But what feedback I've got received from the growers that supply these is that a lot of them die because you're taking genetic material from one place and putting it in the wrong spot. And the other side of this, which is not being explored at all, is you can some of these orchids can live for a long time. So if you're giving them the right world to live in, they may persist for decades and decades, and especially if they're clonal plants. But that's not a sustainable population necessarily. So the vision I have is that you create the conditions with the fungus, we'll give you the fungus, and then you can go from seed to seed to seed on ensuing generations.
Thank you, Dennis.